Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
All right, joining the show is Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to us by BetQL. Bet smarter on Boston Golden State with expert picks, spread analysis, betting trends, and more. You can download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com, and you can do it today. All right, let's bring in our guy, Brian Scalabrine. Scal, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. In the Bay Area, media day, ready to get this thing started.
Attaboy. Listen, I'm going to start you with what question we were just talking about moments ago. In your opinion, where do Tatum and Brown rank as far as duos in the NBA right now?
Oh, I said this 6 months ago. They're at the top because of their positional versatility. If you look at, like, I don't know how long it's going to take fans to start realizing or media people to start realizing. In today's NBA, you have to look at the defensive end of the floor. You have to look at versatility. You got to look at the ability to guard multiple people. You got to look at rebounding the basketball. If you're going to win now, it's just like it makes it so much easier to coach because the skill level has gone off the charts. So you need to first, like, think about players that you want to pick defensively. And then you get into the offensive stuff. Can they play on the ball, off the ball? Can they make plays for other people? I do think that, like, as far as a duo out there, it's really hard to beat these two because of their versatility across the board. There are some good ones. I'm not saying there's not. But as far as complete, they're as complete as it gets in the NBA.
So, Scal, we might as well bring you in on all the topics we were discussing before you jumped on. And the other one was just the overall switch that seemed to flip with this team. And you're calling all these games. You're covering them everywhere they go. When did you realize, okay, they got it? They figured it out. They know what it takes, and now this can be a championship team. Maybe it's not one specific moment, but general an idea of when they started making things happen.
Yeah, but I thought so. Obviously, when you watch them, you see glimpses of, like, championship level team where they're just, like, smacking people, embarrassing the league. You see the look on the coach's face. You see the look on the other team's face, and they're like, dude, what do we do here? How do we score on these guys? I thought one game that in particular stood out was when Phoenix came to town and they embarrassed them. But along the way, like, I got to be honest with you, like, I ride the roller coaster just like anybody else. Like, game seven, what happened at the last, 2.5 minutes, the Milwaukee game, the game six at home, game three at home against Miami. So they definitely remind me of elite teams, like all-time dynasty teams. But the roller coaster ride is where, like, you got to sort of figure out and say, well, can an all-time great team in a game seven lose, get outscored 11-0, in a 2 minute stretch? Like, that usually doesn't happen to playoff teams. Those teams are usually, like, putting teams away. And, you know, when the Celtics have game six to close out an opponent, usually you would do it in the Garden. They didn't do it. It came out flat in game three. So they of all the teams I've ever seen, I think their range of ceiling and floor for a great championship team, not a team that just kind of, like, limps their way into the championship or to the finals like Miami did in the bubble. I never thought that was a great championship caliber team, but they have shown glimpses of both sides of it.
Scal, we definitely saw those glimpses in the Heat series. Now that they're going up against Golden State, starting out there in California, do you feel like, I guess, they're at a disadvantage because of how physically beaten up they've gotten through the past two series, but particularly in that Heat series and going seven in that series?
Yeah, so I do think that. But just understand, like, the Warriors are a great defensive team, but they're not they're not as physical as like the Bucks or the Heat. So they do it like, and here's what's great. This is why when you asked me the question about the top two duos of the NBA, I was like, defense matters. Like, these guys really defend. The Warriors defend. And what both these teams do better than any team is they scramble out. So when you get beat, when they do, if they do get beat, their ability to identify, like, okay, this guy is going horizontal, I don't need the help. This guy's going to the rim, we need to check off and scramble out. So I think the Warriors are a much better scrambling team than Miami was. I think Miami was a much more physical team. So you could see it in the Celtics getting beat up, and you can see Tatum at times like, man, do I really want to drive this ball against him? I'm not sure that that's going to happen in this game. I think this game is going to be more about reading and trying to understand, like, when I get downhill, where's the help coming from? Where do we swing the ball to? Do I need to make it? Like, does the guy I kick it to, does he need to make an extra pass? Where in Miami, it was about playing fast, like keeping Miami on their heels, and then if you had the energy to sustain that. I don't think they had the energy to sustain that because that's why they had some of those lulls. But in this series, I think the Celtics can play with that energy that we've seen and the best version of them offensively. But on the other side, the Warriors are a much better offensive team than Miami. So I just feel like those last two series, they all had their own personality. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that's going to carry over into this series.
Right, we're talking to Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, I go back, like, you know, I remember that Bucks series, game three, game five, and it was like, wow, like, I felt like they kind of gave it up. And then game six, and then the end of game seven, are you concerned at all with how this team still tries to close out tight games or lack of there in game seven? Does that concern you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's almost like, I got to be honest with you, it's like frustrating, kind of maddening, and then I'm like, well, I guess it's just their personality. Like, the rules of basketball would say you can't do that too many times and expect to win. But somehow they're in the NBA Finals. So are they like, are they breaking the rules of basketball where you can get outscored 20-2? I mean, the Warriors got smacked two games this year. Like, it was like kind of embarrassed, this two games this year. They got down by 55 in one game, and I always thought they were the best team in the West. But I just wonder if, like, can they maintain like a certain level that I don't think they can drop and play bad like the way they did against Miami and expect to come out of this series. But like I said before, I don't think this series is going to unfold the same. But 100%, yeah, I'm big time concerned because I actually believe, like, the best Celtics and the best Warriors, I actually believe the Celtics are better. But the worst Warriors and the worst Celtics, I think the Warriors have a higher floor than with the Celtics. When they're bad, man, it's like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but from a basketball standpoint, it's really frustrating because of how good they can be when they play the right way.
So, Scott, what's the most challenging on-the-court aspect for the Celtics and the Warriors? Like, what's the most challenging thing for the Celtics in this series on the court? Not, you know, philosophy, but on the court.
You mean like from a basketball standpoint?
From an analytics standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be the Warriors, Draymond Green is like this middle linebacker per se that's always plugging up the middle everywhere you go. Tatum drives, Draymond Green's going to be there. And it's going to be Tatum's responsibility, Brown's responsibility to make those reads because you're going to be able to drive past Steph Curry. Remember, Steph Curry, they've been playing with Steph Curry's, you know, defensive liability. You know, I don't think it's as bad as people think, but it's not great, right? So Steph gets switched out onto so-and-so. They've been doing this for years now, and they have mastered playing off of Steph Curry's defensive weaknesses. So I think it's the ability for Tatum and Brown to play, like, those high-level reads. Like, they're good ball movers. And at times you watch them, you're like, wow, man, these guys are really grown in that area. But it's going to take when you watch LeBron play, you know how he's so good at, like, checking off the defenses and finding people. I'm not saying Tatum needs to, like, morph into LeBron overnight, but it's like a reading of the defense that LeBron does. Like, it's like a level like that. And if he can do that over the course of whatever this is, seven games, six games, whatever it is, the Celtics will be able to win. And then playing off of that rotation, that's what I worry about from the Celtics offense. Defensively, I think the Celtics match up really well. I think they're going to do they're going to match up in a half court and all that stuff. But then we go back to turnovers. If the Celtics turn the ball over, the Warriors are going to dominate. So it's Jason Tatum getting downhill, Brown getting downhill, reading this complicated defense where they play off of Curry and Thompson's and whoever else is a defensive liability out there, and then being able to do it and not turn it over. So that's the challenge for the Celtics. But if the Celtics can figure that out, hang banner 18 is going up there. But if they can't figure that out, man, it's going to be a tough series.
Scal, I got to ask you, just from the big picture perspective, in your opinion, do you think that Steph Curry is going to be one of the 10 greatest NBA players of all time?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's when it's all said and done, you know what's funny? I don't know how you guys feel about this, but this one means a lot to them. You know, like, they caught the NBA off guard. He caught the NBA off guard with the I shoot threes off the dribble. I pull up from 5 feet behind the line, and it kind of changed the game. Then the NBA kind of, like it does, it always fast forwards and it always catches up. Small ball, everyone catches up to small ball. And then for them to lose Durant, they got Wiggins. They didn't replace him with players from the draft. They just kind of did it with their core. It really makes you think, you know, like, man, this group is a special group. So remember, I got a chance to coach Curry. And, you know, I played with some all-time greats like, you know, Garnett, Pierce, Jason Kidd, Ray Allen, Derrick Rose when he won the MVP. And I could not believe what I saw when just coaching Curry for a year and seeing the way that he works, the way that he approaches the game, his attention to detail, leadership, all that stuff. No one knew at the time because he wasn't an MVP yet. But when I was around those elite guys, and Curry was different right from the start. So I do think, this series matters. If he somehow has got his fourth championship, kind of like two different eras without, and the Kevin Durant thing is kind of a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would put him as a top 10 player.
All right, Scott. Well, listen, man, we appreciate it. I guess from next week we could talk to you. I think it's right before game 3, I believe. But enjoy this one. It should be a lot of fun, pal. Thanks for joining us.
You got it. See ya.
All right, there you go. It was Odyssey Insider, NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to us by BetQL. Bet smarter on Boston and Golden State. Expert picks, spread analysis, betting trends, and more. You can download the BetQL app, or you can visit BetQL.com today. Brian Scalabrine, he was brought to you by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And by the hair doctor of Brian Scalabrine, that is Dr. Matthew Lopresti. Give him a call right now at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.